Whew, God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
Man. Okay. Can I, you know, would it be okay if I just prayed again? Would everybody be all right with that? Sometimes, you know, we want to make sure that God has his way, you know. I mean, this is about him, and I wrote a message, and I'll get to it, but I just, thank you, Jesus. I really feel strongly about that word, you know, that feelings of abandonment, you know, feelings of being forgotten. And I think that, you know, gosh, so many times our circumstances will just bulldoze the way that we feel about God and just will ruin us, you know, and we don't hold on to this. So we start to let go of the truth and we start to hold on to our feelings and it's just not a good place to be, and so I just want to pray for you. If that's something that you're kind of going through right now, why don't you just stand up with me, and let me pray for you, and let those around you pray for you. Okay? Would you do that? Would you do that? Go ahead. You just stand up and let us just pray for you, and God's going to minister to you. And this is an act of trust. This is an act of faith. You know, God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And it's just as an act of drawing near to God. Just, you know, stand up and let us pray for you, okay? All right? Is anybody else? Anybody else? My prayer. You want to stand with us? And let me pray for you. Yeah. Yeah. Because, man, people are going through some heavy stuff. Heavy stuff with an SH. And we just want to be there for them. We want to be there for you. Do you have something? You are not a bad Christian for being forgotten, for feeling forgotten. You're not a bad Christian for feeling abandoned.
I feel like there's people who are needing to stand up and aren't because
they're ashamed. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So if you are just feeling like everything is awesome between you and the Lord right now, why don't you go ahead and just put a hand on somebody standing, would you? Would you surround these guys? We are the body of Christ, okay? We represent Jesus. And man, I'll bet you if Jesus saw you in your need, he wouldn't just sit there. Okay? I'm just saying. Let's pray together. God, we love you, and God, we thank you for this word that we are not forgotten, that we are not abandoned. And God, though we feel alone sometimes, we just feel alone, you are with us. And Jesus, you know what it's like to feel alone. I mean, as you were hanging there dying for us, you felt like you were forsaken by the Father. You know what this is like. And so you promised to never leave us. And you promised to never forsake us. And you are with us. And I pray for every person standing this morning who's saying, I identify with that. I feel abandoned. I feel forgotten. God, thank you for that word that you say to them. You say to them today, you say, you are not forgotten. I have not forgotten you. I have not abandoned you. I have not once looked away from you or felt like your needs were petty. I have not once forsaken you. God, I pray right now that you would just release your Holy Spirit, God, to bring comfort, to bring that sense of peace, that sense of belonging, that sense of, God, that you place your arms around them. God, I thank you that you are committed to them. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't God good? Man, he's good. God is awesome. And I'm just so glad that he loves us enough to kind of stop everything and go, hey, hold on a second. In case you haven't met, I'm Lee. I'm the lead pastor here. And today, you guys, really quick, can I just need to make a couple announcements. I don't mean to grind gears too badly. The sound of is being heard, but real quickly, next week we're going to dedicate babies. And so if you have had a baby in the last whatever, you know, or maybe you've got a 3-year-old that's just never been dedicated, or a 14-year-old, Morgan, we will take care of you. I'm just kidding. I will cradle you in my arms and I will pray for you. Yeah, that's okay. I'll get some help. But we are going to dedicate babies. And so if you've got a baby or a small child or whatever, if not been dedicated, hey, let's pray for that baby. Let's dedicate that baby. And it's going to be a wonderful time. And so I would encourage you, hit me up after service or talk to Wendy or whatever. It's too late for connection cards, but you can put it on the connection card. We want to dedicate. It's going to be a great time. Okay, so... Yeah. Don't just throw your baby at us next Sunday. So let you know, if you're like, hey, you know what, I'm nervous that I'm going to forget, just go talk to Wendy while I'm preaching, okay? So I'll know what you're doing. So we're going to have baby dedications, and then we're going to have preview next Sunday after the service. So if you're new-ish here, or you've never been to preview, we just get together, we get to know each other, we talk about what the church believes and where we come from and all that stuff, and it's just a great time. And there's no pressure. You're not being pressured into becoming a member or anything by coming to preview, but it is pretty much the only requirement that we have for becoming a member. So come to preview. It's going to be a great time. Plan on being there. We'll have lunch. We'll have childcare. It'll be wonderful. All right. And then baptisms are happening on December 10th. We're going to have baptisms here. And that's going to be just a wonderful time to celebrate. We've got a couple people being baptized, at least two, I think, people. And if you want to be baptized, hit me up, all right? And we'll take care of you. We'll make sure that you get baptized, and we'll have a wonderful time. We'll celebrate together. So, let's do this. Let me see what time it is. I'm gonna skip that part. Okay, you all know the vision. Let's say it together. We won't even put it up. We'll just say it together real quick. We're living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. All right. So that's what we're all about as a church. But I want to move on. This morning, what we're doing is we are starting a 3-part series called Crazy Makers. And it's funny because, like, when I put the series together, and I did kind of think about the holidays, but we didn't put that sort of in the little, you know, marketing of it. But, like, everybody's going, oh, just in time for the holidays. Just in time for the holidays, we're going to talk about how to deal with the crazy makers in our life. And, you know, we all have to spend time with at least one person that drives us a little nuts around the holidays. And, it's, you know, close your eyes for just a second. Imagine yourself at Thanksgiving, Christmas. Imagine the one person that just drives you nuts, right? What do they look like? What are they talking about? If you can't think of someone, it's probably you. You are probably the crazy maker, all right? But we all have to kind of deal with somebody, right? I remember when I was working at a TV station. I worked at a TV station in Denver, little teeny UHF station channel. What was it? 53, TV 53, and UHF station. We played Gomer Pyle, and we played Beverly Hillbillies, and we had some Christian programming that we produced in house, and we showed. And I remember that the manager at the TV station was it was kind of like imagine. Imagine George Costanza with a mustache, okay? And he's kind of a short, stocky, bald guy, and he was just horribly insecure, and he was always, like, fishing for compliments, you know what I mean? And he would tell jokes that weren't funny, but because he was the manager, we all had to kind of give a chuckle, you know? And, like, we would be doing production work in the studio, and he would come in and just hold up production for, like, a half an hour because he kind of wanted to stand there and schmooze and joke with the clients to, you know, whatever. And
Like, he was just, he was this very unlikable little man. He was horrible. And I remember one time we were shooting something for a client. They wanted to come in and they wanted to record almost like a music video. You know, they had this sort of like a singing ministry and they wanted to come in. And so they came in and we were, we had three cameras on the hydraulic stands, you know, the three big cameras in there. And she wanted to come in and sing a song. And he decided at last minute without talking to anybody, he wasn't part of the planning meeting or anything like that, he just decided last minute he's going to come in and schmooze with the client and then stick a camera on his shoulder and be a roaming camera during this thing without talking to anybody about it, any of us about it, you know, first. Which meant that the director's planning for all of this was just out the window. You know, and so he's just calling cameras, ready camera one, camera two, whatever. But this guy, being a being the station manager, didn't necessarily know a whole lot about production. He was just trying to impress the client by walking around with a camera on it. And I just remember at one point, you know, and we all have the headsets on, and we're talking to each other, right? And at one point, he just comes and he just stands right in front of my camera while it was hot. And just without even thinking, I just go, "Mark, get out of my shot!" You know, and you don't do that to the station manager, do you? All right. So he got really mad at me about that. And he was just really difficult. And I remember just really having times of like prayer. "God, help me help me like him. Help me love him, God. Help me to do it." He was just so just unlikable and so difficult. And sometimes when we're surrounded by difficult people, it can feel a little bit like this clip. I want to show you this clip. See if you've ever felt this way in your life. All right.
Are you guys going to Davenport? My car died and I'm late for a luncheon.
We usually don't pick up hitchhikers. But I'm gonna go with my instinct on this one. Saddle up, partner. You're it. You're at Quincy's.
Any Quincy's.
You're at Quincy's. No, any Quincy's, no Starcy's.
You can't do that.
Can't do.
Cannot.
Stamped it.
Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases.
Cannot. Triple stamped it. No erases. Touch
no,
blue, make it
no,
true.
No. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd. You
guys. Enough.
Hey. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
Radio? Who needs a radio? Ready, Harry? Mock!
Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah!
Bird!
Yeah!
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 Mockingbird! Don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird
don't sing,
she's gonna buy me a diamond ring.
And if that diamond ring don't shine.
Hey, Lloyd, look, there's some people who want to ride too.
Pick them up!
Mock,
sing,
sing,
bird,
sing.
Has anybody ever felt that way before? If you have never felt that way before, then you are welcome to come to my house for board game night. And by the end of the night, you will feel that way. So, so you know, maybe you've got a person or two in your life that makes you feel that way. If everyone makes you feel that way, you're probably the crazy maker, just so you know. But they can be argumentative. You know, you have people in your life that are just draining, or people in your life that are just annoying. It's almost like they know exactly what buttons to push. You know what I'm saying? And they're usually a family member, right? Because usually family members have a gift, as you might say, or insights into your the buttons to push, okay? They always just know what buttons to push, and they push them again and again and again. And it's almost like the Chinese water torture, you know what I mean? The drip, 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 drip. It's just a little drip, right? But you want to rip their heads off. And so you might have somebody like that in your life. And you just feel like you want to, you know, throw back some Valium before you kill somebody. But how do we deal with the crazy makers in our life? You know, is there a right way? I believe that there is. Are we just supposed to endure them, maybe? Or why can't we just tie them all together and toss them in a fire ant mount? Wouldn't that be fun? Just watch them. You know, what does God have to say about dealing with difficult people? And so we're going to talk about that today. Let's pray real quick. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for what you've already done this morning. I pray, God, that your word would sink deep into our hearts and that it would come alive in us, that it would transform us. We want to be transformed and changed by your word. We don't want to just hear information this morning, God. We want to be transformed by your word. And so, Lord, we yield to what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31. It is taken from the most famous sermon on the Bible, called the Sermon on the Mount. They're the words of Jesus himself. We love the words of Jesus. We love the red letters, as they say. But it says, starting in verse 27, it says, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say to you, love your enemies." And so let's just take the word enemies and we replace it with the word crazy maker, okay? Love your crazy maker, okay? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. We used to tell the kids that when we would spank them. Okay. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. So if you remember one thing this morning, one thing at all, I want you to remember this, that dealing with crazy makers in a godly way requires us to see them as he does. So if we're going to deal with people in a godly way, if we're going to deal with the people that drive us crazy, deal with the people that annoy us, deal with the people that push our buttons, deal with the people that argue with us all the time, we have to see them as God sees them, which is hard, isn't it? It's hard because what happens is they when they poke at us, what are they poking at? They're just poking at our flesh, right? They're poking at our pride. They're poking at the things in us. They're poking at our flesh. They poke, and then we begin to see them, what? Not through God's eyes, but we end up seeing them through the eyes of our flesh. And so if we're going to deal with crazy makers in a godly way, we have to see them as God sees them, right? Because after all, regardless of how annoying a person is, regardless of how mean-spirited a person is, how just obnoxious or wrong a person is, they're still created in God's image. Okay? And so when you're thinking about that person that you don't want to see this Christmas, or you're thinking about the person at the office, or you're thinking about, you know, whatever, they are still created in God's image. And so we want to see them the way that God sees them, okay? Everybody has a story. Everyone has a story. My old TV station manager, he had a story. He had a story, okay? He was made in God's image. George Costanza looking. Made in God's image, okay? And so we just don't know what other people have been through. We don't know what your crazy maker has been through. We don't know their circumstances. We don't know their life. We don't know, maybe they're constantly jockeying for attention because they grew up in a home where they never got any. You know, we don't know people's stories. And so we have to begin to see them as God does, because God knows their story. And so when someone is making you crazy, ask God to help you to see them through his eyes. Honestly, that should be your first response should be that. All right? That should be your first line of defense, as it were. You know, someone's driving you nuts. Okay, God, help me to see them through your eyes. Okay, God, give me your eyes to see, give me your ears to hear, God. And so our filter should be that, okay? I know one example that we have is at Royal Family Kids Camp. Listen, if you went through Royal Family Kids Camp without the grace to see these kids through God's eyes, you'd be like, we're done. You would send every child back home. right? Sorry, you're going home, you're going home, you're going home. You'll just line them up and send them all home. Because kids act out. These kids act out. These kids get ugly. I know, Brandon knows he's been punched in the face. He's been kicked. One kid actually picked him up and pile-drived him and dropped him on his head. I don't even know how he did it. But it was just, it's just amazing, and cussing him out as he did it, you know. And so, like, these kids act out, but we deal with it because we know what they've been through, right? I mean, before we go to camp, we go through training, and we have an expert stand and tell us what kids of abuse go through and how they respond and how they react. You know what? A lot of the crazy makers in your life have been through some pretty traumatic things, but they're just not cute little kids anymore. They've grown up. And so people have gone through things, and kids of abuse act out, and we love them through it because we go, okay, God, help us to see them through your eyes. Help us to see them through your eyes. And, you know, sometimes those kids, they'll do things, and, you know, like, and where somebody might go, I don't even know why they're still here. You know, like somebody might say that, you know, but what we go, well, they're still here because God has given us the grace to see them through his eyes, and we have insight into what they've been through and why they're acting out. And so we have to understand that even when people become adults, they're still acting out of their hurt, and they're still acting out of abuse, and they're still acting out of their experiences and the things that they've been through. And so we need that grace to be able to see them through God's eyes, okay? And so we have to ask God for his perspective, right? So when your brother-in-law is getting on your last nerve, we have to ask God for his perspective, okay? When your coworker who just is always up in your face and talks way too close to you and his breath is never pleasant, you know, and that person gets on our nerve, and he or she is just pushing buttons and being inconsiderate and being annoying, will you ask for God's perspective? Will you ask for God's? Because you know what? Here's the thing. People, unless you become a hermit and you live off somewhere, there will always be someone in your life that drives you at least a little nuts. Okay? Starting from your own children, on to your in-laws, on to your whatever, whatever, whatever. You know, people are always going to drive you nuts. Okay? And I love my children. But we drive each other nuts from time to time, don't we, guys? I didn't need that enthusiastic of a response, Hudson. Okay? Right? Yes. Hudson drives Cole nuts, and Forrest drives, you know, Hudson nuts. And, you know, it's like this crazy-making circle, you know. But our family members do it to us. And then, you know what? We have a coworker that does it, or we have a neighbor that does it to us, you know. And so I remember for a while there, we had a neighbor that just was gossiped a lot. It was just this horrible gossip, you know. And so it kind of drove us nuts for a while. But dealing with crazy makers in a godly way requires us to see them as he does. And so the next thing that we learn from Scripture here is love your crazy maker. You got to love your crazy maker. Love your crazy maker. And can I just say something that in Scripture, according to the teachings of Jesus, loving your crazy maker is not a self-help suggestion. Can I just say this? Loving others, according to the teaching of Jesus, is actually a commandment. We are commanded to love others, right? Isn't that crazy that, you know, that of all the things, you know, Jesus said, hey, to sum up the law, if you want to sum up everything, all of my teachings, and just put it in a nice little package and put a bow on it, Jesus says to fear the Lord and to love your neighbors, right? To love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself, okay? To just wrap it all up. So Jesus says, hey, if you want to take all of the commandments in the Bible, wrap them all up in a bow, love. Love is so strong. Love is, I mean, it's so important. In fact, I'm not sure that there's really anything in Scripture, anything at all that has more of an emphasis and more importance on it than just simply loving. Love. Love your crazy maker. Now, I'm sure that there were people when Jesus was teaching this that people were thinking to themselves, yeah, but Jesus, you don't know my mother-in-law. Right? Because all of us, when there's a commandment in Scripture, every one of us at one point in our life, we think that we're some sort of exception to it. Yeah, but you don't know, because you don't know the way they treat me, and you don't know that. And I'm a special exception. I'm an exception to your commandments. I'm an exception. No, there is no exception. Love your crazy maker. Love you, Crispy. Now, I'm just going to make a preface here, because some of you might be going, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. I've been through some serious abuse. I've been through some other things. In a couple weeks, we're going to talk about that. All right? We're going to talk about when do you cut things off with your crazy maker. But today, we're not talking about that. Today, we're just talking about loving them. Okay? And so, love your crazy maker. If you're not sure what loving your crazy maker looks like, it looks like 1 Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient. So what does that mean? Be patient with your crazy maker. Okay? Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Right? Don't we get irritable around our crazy maker? I do. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. God wants us to be patient with those who drive us crazy. He doesn't want us to be irritable. He wants us to not hold on to the times where they've gotten on our nerves. Okay? He wants us to be happy for them when good things happen to them. Have you ever seen like a bad thing happen to your crazy maker and you were like, yeah? You felt kind of good about it? I'll be honest, I have, okay? You know, and so God wants us to rejoice when good things happen for them, okay? And to mourn when bad things happen to them. He wants us to endure with hope that things will actually get better, all right? So it's about having a godly attitude towards the people who get on our nerves. So we love them with our attitude towards them. Oh, that's tough, right? Especially when you have a horrible attitude towards them because they're horrible people, right? Well, we love them with our attitude towards them. It's called loving our crazy makers, okay? But here's the thing that God does in the scripture here in 1 Corinthians 13. As God seems to want to do a lot, you ever notice that God kind of gives you something and you go, all right. And then God goes, all right, let's take it up a notch, right? Isn't that God? God invented, let's kick it up a notch, I think, okay? So God says, okay, love your crazy makers. Next, bless your crazy makers. Oh, now you've just gone too far. You've gone too far here. Okay, I'll love them in my heart, but I ain't going to bless them. I'm not going to do things nice for them, right? So bless your crazy makers. This is where we graduate from loving them with our attitudes to loving them with our actions. Because love is an action. Yes or no? Yes, all right? Ask any wife here how she would feel if her husband never did anything for her but went, hey, I love you, and just maybe said I love you, but actually never did anything to show their love, right? Wives would kind of go, I'm not feeling too loved, right? I think most husbands would feel that way too. But bless your crazy makers. So some of you guys, and I'm just going to say it, need to bring a plate of Christmas cookies to the person in your life that you can't stand the most, right? Think of the person that you can't stand at work. Think of the neighbor that drives you nuts. Think about, you know what? Bring them a plate of Christmas cookies. What a beautiful, you know what? I love Christmas time because you can do something like that and it's not weird, right? Because it's Christmas time. I mean, people, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It is. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And you can do something like that without it seeming actually absolutely bizarre. Okay? Bring a plate of Christmas cookies to your crazy maker. Okay? And if I get like 10 plates of Christmas cookies over the next couple of weeks, I'll know that I am your crazy maker, right? So, you know, when you do something for your enemy, Proverbs chapter 25, it says it's like heaping hot coals on their head. Right? It's like when you do something for your enemy, when you do something nice for your crazy maker, it says it's like heaping hot coals on your head. And then it says this. It says if you do something nice for your crazy maker, the Lord will bless you. Okay? According to Proverbs 25. God will bless you when you bless your crazy maker. When you bless the person that drives you nuts, when you bless the person that's constantly like hurting your feelings, that's constantly, you know, when you bless the person in your house that always like takes the last piece of cake. Then we got somebody like that in your house. They'll take the last bit. Ah, yeah. We always have people in our, Midwesterners have an incredible sense of common courtesy, don't they? Right? There's an incredible sense. Because if when you offend a Midwesterner's sense of common courtesy, you might as well have stolen their car. You know what I'm saying? When you take the last piece of cake, when you get in front of somebody in line, when you're at the church potluck, and you're first in line, and you're like piling your plate this high, the other people behind you are going, "We're not gonna get to eat," you know. But that guy who does that thing, you need to bring some cookies too. You need to bring some cookies too. So, what? My sons are having like this powwow now. You do that. You do that. You need to bring your brothers. So you guys need to give each other cookies. So, you know, so you bless your crazy maker, okay? Because Scripture says, according to Proverbs 25, that this is going to bless, God will bless you. God will bless you for doing that, okay? And I don't know about you guys, but I would rather receive a blessing from God than simply withhold a blessing from somebody else. Doesn't that seem funny? Doesn't that seem strange? But we do that, don't we? I'm going to withhold a blessing from that person because it makes me feel good, because that person doesn't deserve a blessing. But we're denying ourselves a blessing from God by not blessing our crazy makers. And it says that it's going to be like heaping hot coals on their head. What does that mean? Hot coals on your head? That's like a wake-up call, isn't it? I mean, that's a wake-up call. How many times have we been in the situation where we've been a pill, right? When we've been in a bad mood and we've used that anger, or we've used that bad mood, we've used that temperament as an excuse to kind of to be cold towards people, to be rude towards people. How many times have we been a pill, right? And then somebody does something nice for us, and then we realize that we've been a totally difficult person. You know what? Usually, most of the times when I receive an apology from somebody, it's because I've done something nice for them and they've went, "You know what? Thank you so much. I've been such a jerk towards you." You know? And so it is like that's they put hot coals on your head and it woke you up. Oh gosh, listen, I've been a jerk. I'm sorry. Okay? When somebody does something nice for us, suddenly we realize we've been difficult. We've had hot coals heaped on us. Bless people, bless your crazy maker, and watch what happens, okay? And then the next thing is this: pray for your crazy maker. Pray for them. Pray for them, okay? And don't just pray, "God get them." God get them. God just send somebody to kick him in the butt, okay? Luke 6:28 says to pray for those who hurt you. Pray for those who hurt you. That's tough, right? And to pray with sincerity, to pray that God would bless them. When we pray for people, it softens our heart towards them. It does. It's hard to stay mad at somebody. It's hard to stay resentful towards somebody when we pray sincerely for God to bless them. Okay? It really does. And when we pray for people, it softens our heart towards them. Praying for people helps us to see people as God does. Remember, that just goes back to our first point. If we're gonna deal with our crazy makers in a godly way, then we have to see them as God does. And praying for people helps us to see people as God sees them. So pray for people, okay? It softens our heart towards them. And so our whole goal is to see them as God does. And so when we pray for them every day that they would humbly follow Jesus, and we pray for them every day that God would bless them, that God would bless their family, that God would bless the people around them, that God would bless their businesses, that God would bless their holidays, that God would bless them, okay? It changes our heart. It turns our heart. And we want to see them as God does. Okay? And then the last thing is this, and this is super important, because here's what a lot of us do. The last thing is this: don't expect anything in return. Don't expect your crazy maker to go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, let me bless you back. Oh, I'll never treat you that way at work again." Okay? Don't expect anything from our crazy maker. And I know I just said that, you know, hot coals, and you know what, that may or may not happen. But listen, don't expect anything in return. Because here's what's most important here, and this is not in my notes. The most important thing here isn't that your crazy maker changes. The most important thing here is that you change. The most important thing here is that you develop God's heart for people that don't gel with you. That's really the most important thing here. So don't expect anything in return. When we love and we bless people, we tend to expect some sort of reciprocation, don't we? And then when we don't get reciprocation, we start to get offended. And we, you know, maybe even feel worse than we did before, okay? Don't expect any reciprocation, because that's not real love. Real love isn't reciprocal. Real love is sacrificial. And so we want to love sacrificially, not with expecting some sort of reciprocation. Luke 6:35 says to love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. So this is Jesus' love. These are the words of Jesus here. Then your reward in heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Right? God is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You know, I get the impression right here that Jesus is standing here, and in a backhanded sort of way, He's calling us unthankful and wicked. And if you who are unthankful and wicked, and if I who am unthankful and wicked, has love lavishly poured out on me, then it's silly for me to withhold love from others in my life who are unthankful and wicked. Okay? And so, don't expect anything in return. Expecting something in return only leads to disappointment, which leads to anger, which leads to bitterness towards your crazy maker, okay? Real Christ-like love is sacrificial, and God will bless it, all right? And so, what I want to do this morning, and we're running out of time, so I want to end with this. Maybe you are at your wit's end with somebody. And you know, like I said, we're going to talk in a couple of weeks about when is it okay to just separate yourself from that person, you know, to kind of go, psh, I got to keep you at arm's length. But maybe you're at your wit's end with somebody. And maybe when I said crazy maker, somebody immediately came into your mind, right? Maybe you have a Rolodex of crazy makers that came into your mind, all right? And you felt almost like a gut reaction. Oh, he's talking about crazy makers. And as soon as he said crazy maker, man, that person came into my head. That coworker, that relative, that in-law, that, you know, whatever. And you had this sort of like gut reaction. And if you have somebody in your life like that, can I just tell you that God is probably trying to build a particular character trait in you? If you've got somebody in your life that it just seems like they're always pushing that button, always just bam, bam, bam. They know what to do. They know what button to push. They know. And it's just always, whenever you have that interaction with them, it seems like it just kind of leaves a stain on you for a couple of days. Whenever you have that interaction with them, it just always seems to just poke you in the wrong places. And God is probably trying to build something in you. God is probably trying to, because here's how God shapes us. You know, he is an artist, but he uses other people to knock off the rough parts, to shape us, to mold us, okay? Maybe you're wanting to be more patient. Isn't that a dangerous prayer? God, make me more patient. Just listen, never pray that. Or maybe you're trying to be more loving, right? Or just more like Jesus, okay? And there are so many virtues that we want to embody, don't we? We want to embody that virtue. We want to embody that patience and that kindness and the goodness, the fruits of the Spirit. We want to embody those things. But here's the thing. It's difficult people that give us the opportunity to actually demonstrate those virtues. Otherwise, how do you know you're more patient? Right? How do you know you're more loving? How do you know you're more kind? Okay? It's difficult people that come into our life that give us the opportunity to demonstrate those things. Because if life were always easy, we would never know if we were growing. We would never know if we were changing. How else do we know if we're growing? And you will never know if you've grown more patient unless your patience is tested, which usually requires a difficult person in your life to test that patience, okay? You'll never know if you're more kind or gentle or peaceful unless someone comes into your life to test those virtues. So those difficult people, those crazy makers, are in your life for a reason. And so if we're going to see those people through the eyes of God, then we need to thank God for those people when they come into our lives. Well, that's tough, isn't it? Oh, thank you, God, for my difficult family member. Thank you, God, for my difficult co-worker. Okay, because I get to see if I've grown more patient. I get to see if I've grown more, you know, kind, okay? Thank God for that person. Pray to see that person as he does. Love that person. Bless that person. Pray for them and expect nothing in return. And watch what God does in you. In you. In you. Because you can't change the other person, but you can change you. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to close out with this. I just want to close just really with that challenge that this week you would pray for your crazy makers. That this week you would write that person's name down. Put that person's name on a post-it. Put it on your medicine cabinet so that when you're getting ready for work in the morning and you're about to get in your car and face that person or be with that person or watch that person eat 5 donuts at work on donut day and you got none thanks to them or whatever it is, you know, and whatever it is that is driving you crazy about them, and just put their name up somewhere and pray for them and thank God for them. So that's your challenge today, to pray for your crazy maker and to thank God for that person, okay? Does that sound all right? Will you accept that challenge? Will anybody do that? Okay, do that. Do that. All right, so let's go ahead and pray. And listen, I just want to encourage you, and Wendy, if you want to go ahead and come back, and the team, and Eric, come on back, and Lee, and Smoltzes, come back, and the Smoltzes, Smot Smoltz, and let's pray together. Why don't y'all stand with me? Let's pray. So listen, if you need prayer this morning, go back and see Karen. I'll be back there too. If you got a crazy maker in your life, if you're feeling abandoned, if you need prayer for anything, okay, we would love to pray with you, okay? So Karen will be back there. I'll be back there. We'll be back there right behind the sound booth. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to put crazy makers in our life, to shape us to be more like Jesus. And God, I pray that you would help us to yield to your process of shaping us, yield to your process of molding us. God, that we would become better people. God, help us to see our crazy makers through your eyes. Help us, Lord, to love them with a Christ love, with a love that, to love them like Jesus would. God, I pray that just a whole lot of blessing would flow out of this church this season. Just a whole lot of blessing other people. God, you're so awesome. We love you in Jesus' name.